Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The theology of the cross from a non-Lutheran perspective is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. If you have any questions or comments about this program or any of our programs, please send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Today, we're very excited to have with us Dr. Alistair McGrath. Dr. McGrath is professor of theology, ministry, and education at King's College in London. He has also served as a professor of historical theology at Oxford University. Dr. McGrath has been a leading critic of the New Atheism, and he is also an advocate of the importance of theology, apologetics, mission, and evangelism and social engagement within the life of the Church. Dr. McGrath has a long-standing interest in the history of the theology of the Reformation, especially the theology of Martin Luther. His first book was based on the theology of the cross, and it was closely followed by his definitive study on the development of the doctrine of justification. Currently, Dr. McGrath is researching a biography of Martin Luther, which is due to be published in 2017 on the 500th anniversary of the posting of Luther's 95 Theses. He's also just finishing a biography on C.S. Lewis, which is due to be published in the spring of 2013. Dr. McGrath, welcome.
Very nice to be with you.
Today we're going to discuss Luther's theology of the cross. Could you give us a bit of a background about it? What is it and its history?
Certainly. An approach to theology Luther began to develop in the late 1510s, especially as he himself began to feel that his own life was being increasingly shaped by uncertainty and by the possibility of suffering. And in many ways, when Luther talks about the theology of the cross, he's not talking about theories of the atonement. It's something much more profound than that. It's the idea that the cross makes possible a way of seeing things, a way of living the Christian life, and of course a way of safeguarding salvation. So it's a very rich concept which engages with a number of things, but one of the most important things is the new attitude it brings to suffering.
Now, why did Luther emphasize this theology of the cross? Can you give us a brief, perhaps, context of the history that led to his understanding of the theology of the cross, and then we'll get into this idea of suffering as well?
I think there are two points to bring in here. First of all, Luther stood in an Augustinian tradition, which tended to see the sufferings of Christ on the cross as being of immense spiritual importance and encouragement to Christians as they thought about their own situations. But secondly, Luther's own theological pilgrimage, which seems to have gone through a major transition in the mid-1510s, involved the whole doctrine of justification by faith alone. And one of the things I notice is that actually the theology of the cross emerges from that doctrine of justification. As Luther thinks about what it means to talk about the righteousness of God and other things like that, he begins to realize that they subvert human preconceptions of what they are, and begins to notice also that they are very closely linked with the cross. So I would say Luther really develops this theology. I think it's there in place by about 1518, but the roots of it go much further back than that.
Now, you talked about the Roman Catholic understanding of suffering, perhaps the monks with their emphasis on Jesus' suffering, perhaps the physical aspects of his suffering. And Luther, as you say, brings in justification then. How can we then tie in, I suppose, perhaps maybe a theology of glory and Luther's theology of the cross?
That's a good question. Let's make two points here. First of all, one of the reasons why Luther criticized the theology of glory is that he's saying, in effect, it works on the assumption that God is present in moments of great triumph or great success or great grandeur. In other words, the assumption is that in order to earn favor with God, we have to do some very great things. Luther is saying that actually the cross brings home to us that very often those who are marked with the sign of the cross aren't successful, aren't rich, aren't glorious, but actually suffer and go through times of great difficulty. And Luther is asking us to be critical of worldly attitudes that suggest that we know we're doing what's right if we are successful. Luther emphasizes that discipleship is not about success. It's about somehow connecting up with Christ himself. But I think the second point is even more important, and it's this. Luther is not saying we actively go and seek out suffering, you know, some kind of medieval self-flagellation. What he's saying is, look, if God wants us to suffer, it's going to happen. And we should see this suffering not as an imposition of a penalty, but rather as a precious gift that is given to us. And so what Luther is saying is, please see suffering in a new light. Try and value it as something that God has given you as an emblem of favor in his sight, and realize he's using this to make you a better person, to deepen your faith, to strip away other sources of certainty, and instead learn to trust in God. And for Luther, that's a key theme. God strips away assurance, which we place in other things, in order to bring us back to him who's the one we really should trust.
Now that sounds like that's turning everything on its head.
It's radical, and it's very exciting.
Exactly. Now, let's get into that big question then that faces humanity square on. If God is almighty, all-powerful, then why is there suffering?
Well, I think we very often reflect on this, on the assumption that if we were in charge of things, the world would be a better place. In other words, we very often have the assumption that there must be a better world, and therefore we can say the present one is clearly something wrong with it, therefore God, you know, messed up, didn't do it properly. We need to just realize this is the only world that we know, at least in one sense, and I'll come back to that in a moment, and that we cannot say it could be better than this because we have no grounds for saying that. But secondly, this is a point that Luther makes, but he gets it from Augustine. Augustine emphasizes that we have the memory of Eden and we have the hope of the new Jerusalem. And in the light of that double vision, we realize that this world falls short. And the reason that we're able to make that judgment, this world isn't as good as it should be, is because God has given us a foretaste of the better world that is to come. And that doesn't cause us to disengage with this world. In fact, if anything, it makes us want to do things to this world to make it better, because we have this God-given vision of the world to come and see that we could begin to make a difference to this world in the light of that vision.
If I'm hearing you correctly, Luther's understanding of the theology of the cross, could I say that's based in his understanding of the fallenness of humanity, that we live in a world which is full of sin and evil?
Luther's saying that we live in a world that's full of sin, that's full of evil, a world that we don't fully understand. He's also saying that there are limits to what we can understand, what we can grasp of the deeper side of life. And he's also saying that God knows that and enters into this world at its point of greatest darkness in order to bring his presence there. And Luther, as I'm sure you know, talks much about the whole theme of the darkness of faith. It's the idea that we live in a confusing, bewildering world. It's dark. We don't see things fully. But if you like, the cross of Christ is like a candle that's glimmering in the gloom, and it gives us enough to live by. It's an assurance of something greater to come, but Luther is saying that we may trust that God is there in that cloud of darkness, and the death and resurrection of Christ is a reassurance that even though we don't fully see God in this life, he is there and may be trusted, and one day we'll be in a place where we'll know him in all his fullness.
So again, you bring the theology of the cross back to justification through Jesus.
Yes, I see a very secure theological link there.
Absolutely. So Luther is saying to us, because of the sinfulness of the world, because of the world's opposition to the gospel, it should not surprise us that the life of the Christian, just as the life of Jesus our Savior, should be filled with persecution, difficulties, sufferings.
Exactly. We're not promised an easy ride through life. What we are promised is that God will remain with us whatever happens. He may not seem to be there all the time. Remember, many of those watching Christ dying on the cross made the assumption that God wasn't there. Luther's saying to us, look, the cross is telling us God is there, even in life's darkest moments. And we need to hang on to that promise, even though our experience sometimes says to us, God isn't there.
That is, I think, very comforting in our world today.
And we need to cling on to that thought. It means that we can get on with the business of Christian living even when life gets difficult. We aren't looking for success as a hallmark of favor with God. Instead, we take what God gives us and we rejoice that if we do suffer, we suffer with Christ, which is a huge privilege.
Along that line of thought, one of the things that brings great deal of comfort in my life when times get a bit tough is Luther's understanding of Anfechtung. Could you perhaps explain that a little bit and what it means and how it applies to our lives?
Yes, it's a great idea, and one I think that Luther really appreciates himself in some very difficult situations. Anfechtung, or temptation, or anxiety, it's very difficult to translate that word, but it means really that God strips away false grounds of assurance in order that we might rediscover God himself. And I often go back to the Greater Catechism, where Luther says, in effect, wherever your heart is and wherever your security is, that has become your God. And I find that both challenging and comforting. It's challenging because when I start thinking, well, you know, where is my heart and where is my security, I very often find it's not God. And that is a challenge because it forces me to think, am I really putting my trust in God? But it's also, I think, comforting because it means that Luther discovered that himself the hard way. And so we're in good company as we ask those difficult questions.
And
Anfechtung is about God, if you like, recalibrating us, enabling us to detach ourselves from false sources of security in order that we can reattach to him.
And you mentioned Luther's struggles within his own life.
Very much so. I mean, Luther was very unsure what was going to happen to him. His principal stand on behalf of the gospel was creating opposition. And I think he found it very consoling to know that even though he was facing great threats, great difficulties, that God remained there even though everything else might be taken away. And that idea of clinging fast to the Word of God in a difficult situation is a hallmark of Luther's thought.
Yeah, he seemed to have learned the theology of the cross, Anfechtung, Tentatio, in the Crucible.
He did. This is a theology of real life. It's not an abstract academic theology. It's a theology that connects up with the real issues of life.
In a recent presentation, I heard you speaking on a comparison between Luther and C.S. Lewis and their understanding of suffering.
Well, that's right. I'm very fond of C.S. Lewis. I think he says some very good things. But when I read his book, The Problem of Pain, which was published in 1940, it does seem to me that Lewis treats suffering simply as some kind of academic difficulty. Luther knew it as a spiritual threat, a real challenge, and had a robust theology that was able to engage with it. And you know, the thing about Lewis is this. He wrote The Problem of Pain in 1940, and then in 1960 his wife died of cancer. And he wrote a book called A Grief Observed, and it's a heart-wrenching book to read, because in it Lewis just says, look, the ideas that I once found helpful about suffering were just shown up to be inadequate. And he's struggling to find an answer, and he does find an answer, and you know, it's a bit like Luther. And what I wonder is, what if Lewis had discovered Luther earlier in his life? Might that have helped him to deal with that dreadful period in his life more effectively?
Yeah, because Luther, you know, he knew what loss was as well.
He certainly
death
did.
Of children.
Oh, his children. It was terrible. I mean, the man experienced suffering and really sought to learn through it.
Now, within our Christian context, we don't hear the preaching, the proclamation of the theology of the cross much today.
No, we don't. And I worry about that. I mean, very often in some churches you hear what I would call a health and wealth gospel. In other words, if God likes you, he marks you with favors, and those favors are good health and personal wealth. And you know, Luther wouldn't have much to do with that. Luther was very, very clear that those markers, health and wealth, are not signs of God's favor. And above all, we need to realize that very often those who love God the most and serve him the best are poor and suffer. I think Luther is just asking us to avoid using worldly standards to judge our spiritual status.
But does that not go back to what you were saying in the Large Catechism, where Luther says, what is your God? So exactly. Often in our society, our gods are money and prosperity.
Exactly. Things we've invented. And Luther is saying, look, the real God is rather different and actually much more realistic. I think Luther is liberating us. He's saying you do not have to become rich to earn God's favor. You don't have to be healthy to earn God's favor. God loves you as you stand. Your social status and other things are not markers of acceptance by God. If God accepts you, he's with you no matter what the future holds. And I think that's a very consoling thought. But it's also a good theological thought.
So how can theologians, pastors, working in the church today, bring the ship back around to the theology of the cross rather than the theology of glory? Any practical suggestions for us?
Well, I think there are two thoughts I have here. One is we do need to preach this more. I think some people find it a little bit uncomfortable because it is quite countercultural. But I think it does need to be said that we cannot regard success as a sign of God's favor, nor can we regard failure as a mark of God's critique of us. I think that does need to be said. But more significantly, I think we do need to hear more stories about people who did go through very difficult times and found Luther's ideas to be transforming, you know, bringing hope, bringing illumination in those dark times. We need people to tell their stories of how reading Luther or thinking about the theology of the cross really brought them insight and consolation. And I think that's really needed. We need people to help others think through what this is all about.
And one of the joys I get when I read Luther is he really does go back to the scriptures and point to the prophets, to Jesus, to the apostles, to illustrate that God's blessing is often coupled with suffering, persecution, distress.
Absolutely. Luther is very biblically grounded. And he's also very good at connecting scripture up with the experience we have of life.
So within the context of the modern church and the preaching of the theology of the cross, can we see how that can impact, perhaps even transform, a church as it seeks to follow God and do his will?
I think there's a lot we can do here. I think it has a real potential to turn things round. Let me just give you one example. Mm-hmm. I have many colleagues who are clergy, and very often they feel that they're only successful if certain things happen. They have big budgets or they have huge congregations. And I think one of the things Luther is saying to them is, look, you know, God just works through the faithful few if necessary. And you don't need to be vastly successful to be able to bring about a change. And I think really Luther's asking us all to allow the grace of God to take priority. What Luther is saying is when you look at the cross of Christ, you see God working out the salvation of the world in a situation which many find completely hopeless. The theology of the cross is about bringing God's hope into situations where we very often feel there is no hope at all. It allows us to see them in a different way. And I think many congregations need to realize that sometimes they're dispirited or discouraged. The theology of the cross is about God being able to work through apparent failure, apparent weakness, and it's a theology that speaks to people who know they aren't all that good, but know they believe in a great God who's able to do things in them and through them.
Again, you bring it back to justification. The sinner being declared righteous, even though they know they are not deserving.
Exactly, and that's why Luther's theology is so consistent. He keeps coming back to that theme and exploring its spiritual, theological, and pastoral dimensions.
One of the things that I find distressing, and I attended a church just a few weeks ago, very large congregation, but during the service there was no reading of the scriptures, there was no prayer, and it was done in such a way to meet what they thought were the needs of the world, and it was done to not offend anyone, and I found that to be very, very, in my case, offensive, because there was no notion of the theology of the cross.
Well, I think Luther would probably say that that was not proper Christian worship. Because for Luther, you know, we have to engage with scripture and we have to focus on Christ. And it sounds as if those two themes weren't really very much there in what you experienced.
And I find that if that is our goal, to meet the needs of the culture, then the cross gets completely obliterated.
I completely agree. I mean, for Luther, it's all about inculcating Christ. In other words, driving people to find Christ and realize the massive difference this makes.
Now, I understand you are writing a biography of C.S. Lewis as well, which will be published next year. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, Lewis is a very interesting character. And one of the reasons I wrote this was just realizing that Lewis is so widely read. People are very interested in him, and yet they don't really understand how he came to faith, the differences faith made, the way in which his faith is expressed in the Narnia stories. And so in many ways, what I've done is researched this story very, very rigorously, but tried to tell it in a very interesting way. And I have to say, I really enjoyed researching and writing that book. So I hope many others will find it helpful, as I found doing that research so helpful to my own faith.
Dr. McGrath, we'd like to thank you for being our guest on the Lutheran Inquisitor today. We really appreciate your insights into Luther's theology of the cross and the challenge that it brings our society. Thank you for the practical advice you've given the Church and those who proclaim the gospel within her on bringing us back to really understanding the connection between the theology of the cross and justification by grace through Jesus Christ alone.
Well, it's been great speaking to you.
May God bless you, Dr. McGrath, in all of your work. And we'd like to thank everyone for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our programs, please send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Thank you again for your support. And if you would like to listen to any of the previous episodes of The Lutheran Inquisitor, please go to our homepage and click on podcasts and feel free to download any of our previous episodes. We look forward to talking to you next week. Go in God's peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk
and stay tuned.
All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.